God, thank you, Lord Jesus, for your promises. Thank you for who you are, for who you want us to be in you. Thank you, Lord, that we can gather together in this beautiful day, no matter what time it is, no matter what part of the country we're from, whether we're visiting here this morning for the first time or we've been here for a long time, Lord God, that we would all, Lord, allow your spirit to just dwell within us this morning as we come to reflect on your word, to reflect on your challenges to us, to reflect on your love and on your grace. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be a part of this community, a part of, Lord, Indy Atlantic, and about what you're doing in the world. And we just continue to ask for your grace and your empowerment of us as we follow you. As we approach, Lord God, already Easter in the next couple of weeks, Palm Sunday next Sunday, and all of these things that are going on in the story of the Gospels, Lord, in your life as you were traveling to Jerusalem, Lord God, help us not to be weary as we travel with you there. And as we approach Easter, as we approach, Lord God, the cross, that we would not shy away from your love and not shy away from what's happening to you and what you're trying to do in our lives. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been talking throughout this Lenten season about how Jesus described himself in John 14:6. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." We were relaying how is it that he saw himself as the way, truth, and life. And we came to identify maybe one of the things that he could have been talking about was the fact that one of the expectations for the Messiah was that he or she, obviously it would have been a him, but that the Messiah had to fulfill the roles of the Old Testament prophet, priest, and king. It was one of the things that was expected of the Messiah. And as the Messiah, this one particular aspect, as the one who is the priest, who prepares the sacrifice, who prepares the way for the people to be united with God, needed to happen. And of course, we talked about how the cross is that symbol, right? That symbol, which is an awful symbol in the day of Jesus. It was a symbol of torture, a symbol of defeat. It was a symbol of cursing, how Jesus, when he died on the cross, right, as he will in a couple of weeks, where we'll celebrate Good Friday, that symbol becomes for us the way. And we see that as the high priest, as Jesus fulfills that role of high priest, he makes a way, right? He is the way, and we talked about how he is the truth. He is the way because he is the perfect sacrifice for us. He is the perfect sacrifice, atoning sacrifice that pays for the sins of the world, cleanses us, and allows us to become a people that can enter into God's presence. He's the way, he's the truth. We talked about how the high priest in the Old Testament, one of his jobs was to intercede for the people, to mediate on behalf of the people. He was to confess the sins of the people and as he was doing the sacrifices, and that whole ritual was meant to free the people from not only the sin, but the guilt and shame of that sin. And as he did that, he was the intermediary. He would intercede for people. And Jesus, as the way, the truth, he's the one who brings the truth to light in our lives of our need for that intercession. He continues to be the perfect mediator. He's the one who continues to pray for us. He's the one who continues to work on our behalf so that we could know his will in our lives, so that we can feel his presence in our hearts. And then the third and last role of the high priest, of the priest that that used to administer all of the things for the Old Testament people and during Moses' time, was the blessing. So the high priest went in and made the sacrifice. He interceded and prayed for the people. And then he was required to come and give a blessing to the people. And if you think about it, that was the whole idea of the whole thing, right? I mean, to enter into God's presence for what reason? To be transformed and renewed and made into the people of God. For what reason? Just like the questions that Jess was asking. But why? But why? But why? But why? Because God wishes and has always wished and desired to bless us, to bless his creation, to bless his people. And so the question arises, A, what is a blessing? And B, how is it that he blesses them? The high priest was supposed to get a word from God and bless the people. And so if we were to read from Leviticus 9, we would see where it says that Aaron, the high priest, was supposed to come and bless the people. And I hope it's on the screen this morning. Leviticus 9, 23-24. Aaron lifted his hands towards the people and blessed them. And he came down after sacrificing the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the offering of well-being. Moses and Aaron entered into the tent of meeting and then came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came out from the Lord and consumed the burnt offerings and the fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. See, this was the whole idea of the giving of the covenant and of the law was, and this sacrificial system. It was somehow able to precede what Jesus would do. And in this process, it's an ugly process when we think back of the sacrificial system, how incredibly gross it must have been. But in the midst of all that, in this promise of God's glory coming down to the people to bless them, we see that God doesn't shy away from the ugliness of our lives, but comes and confronts the ugliness of our lives and the chaos of our existence with his glory, with the blessing of his very presence. But not only that, but the blessing of his desire for us to live into a future that's different than the past. See, the whole purpose of the sacrificial system was so that the people would be clean, would be holy once again, would be able to begin anew. And the first thing that happens when that occurs is for them to hear their marching orders, to hear once again their purpose, to hear once again and be reminded that after being and as you are in God's presence, you are to be directed by God's word into a future. Of course, we know that the blessing included, you know, going to the promised land. And there's a lot of things that are entailed here. But the blessing was really God's direction for his people. It was his presence. It was his calling on their lives. It was his ability to make them whole again. It was reconciliation. It was really the empowerment of them to obey and to worship on their daily, everyday lives, to carry forth their responsibilities, and most of all, their loyalty to God. See, it is the blessing of God that gives us life. If you think about it, this is what God's intention was from the beginning, right? That as he created life, he declared it good, right? At every stage of creation, he says, this is good. This is good. This is good. This is good. When he gets to creating humanity, God pauses and says, let us make them in our image. Let us make them different than all the rest, and let us put a part of ourselves, our very nature, into them. And what was that very nature? By the way, if you come to membership class today, you'll find out what that means. A little plug there for my membership class. It is the moral nature of God within us, that he's placed a part of himself in us so that we could live as his children. But of course, that quickly ends with the fall, right? That quickly is broken and perturbed. It's kind of interrupted. But from the beginning, when God says this was very good, he was looking at Adam and Eve. He was looking at his creation. He was looking at the children that he had made and said, this is very good. And that was the blessing. You see, we forget that the story of salvation was good news, bad news, good news. We always just go to the bad news, the fall, sin, how ugly the world is. But before that, it was good news. We were created with the blessing of goodness in our lives. Blessing of goodness was God's intention from the beginning. And this is something that Jesus reminds us of. And this is why when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, this blessing is the life that God began and spoke into our lives and into creation from the beginning. From the beginning, everything was blessed by God and resulted in life. And anytime God blesses anything, or anytime there's a blessing that is opposed on someone, there is abundance of life, there is hope, and what else but peace. Being blessed by God means having a peace that surpasses all understanding. Now, I know you're saying, well, I don't experience that peace, and it's hard for me. And well, this is part of the story and why the story of the Israelites in the Old Testament is very important for us to understand why Jesus came. Because you see, the priests back then and the people, they would receive the blessings, and you know the story. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and they kept getting lost. And that was something that they needed to continually be reminded of to be put back on track. But when Jesus said, I am the life, I think one of the things he was talking about was the recreating of his image within us, the recreating of our very purpose within our hearts, so that we would experience that peace that we have with God, that we were supposed to have with God all the time, even in the midst. And I want to say this clearly, even in the midst of our trials, even in the midst of our pain, even in the midst of our questions. Because you see, that's the beauty and the mystery of God's blessing is that it's not some magical incantation. You and I believe a blessing to be something like wishing someone good luck, right? When you say, when you see the Pope blessing people and people throng, you know, those are beautiful pictures of people lining up the roadways as the Pope comes by and blesses people. It's a beautiful thing. And that has a special meaning that connects us to this. I can't go into it, but the whole idea of blessing is God pronouncing a new reality over your life, regardless of who you are. That's the beauty about that. But the issue is that we think, oh, now I'm blessed, and now nothing can happen to me. Or I'm blessed, and that blessing means that it should result in material possessions or in the things that I define for myself as blessing. But you see, in the context of a covenant relationship with God, it's about responsibility. It's about receiving a special gift that gives us the opportunity to show our love and loyalty to God, but also to be able to do that which we couldn't do otherwise. That's one of the definitions of the Hebrew word for blessings, is the gift to do something you cannot do on your own. The gift of giving the ability to accomplish something beyond your ability. So when God blesses his people through the high priest, he is speaking to them these words of hope and of peace and of transformation. But when they receive the blessing, can you imagine the people waiting outside of the tent of meeting of the tabernacle and just wondering, what's the blessing going to be this year? You know, just kind of like when you wait for a big announcement, you know, when is One Direction going to release their next album? Is that still dated? I don't know. Is One Direction still around? I know my niece loves it. Loves them. You know, anything you're really anticipating with, you know, with bated breath, you know, when is the next season of I don't know, Lost? And of course, that's an old, I can't even think of a new show. That anticipation, can you imagine? Why? Because that anticipation was about what you knew was coming next. The people of God were waiting and hoping that they hadn't messed everything up, that there was still hope for them to get back on track. And that's what the sacrificial system kind of began to communicate about God's saving plan for us. But I want to read this out of Deuteronomy 30, because this is also about the opportunity to serve God and to show our loyalty to God as a result of the blessing. And this is Moses' last words, some of Moses' last words to the people of Israel before they go into the promised land. And this is here. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandment of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but you are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. Have you ever had something that was really precious to you and you lost it? Like, oh, I found it and I lost it again. That's so frustrating, right? You found, oh, I've been looking for this forever. I'm going to put it over here. And, you know, like happened to me recently. I had someone gave me a gift and I put it somewhere special and I forgot where it was and now I can't find it. If you see, we do not use and put into practice the gifts and the blessings that God gives us, we have a tendency to stray. We have a tendency to lose our way, to forget our calling, to forget the life that God wants for us. And I want to just share with you a little interesting thing about the root word in the Hebrew of the word blessing. At the root of that word is the root that is the same root for the word knee. And that's interesting. Why is that? Well, because the word to kneel also carries that same root word. And why is that interesting? Because, well, when you receive a blessing, what do you normally do, right? When you see, you know, the knights being knighted by the queen. I knight you, sir, this and sir that, and ma'am this and that. When a king receives the crown, when a king is going to be crowned the king, that is the very last time the king kneels to anything or anyone, because he then becomes, right, or the queen becomes the ultimate authority of the land. When the queen or the king kneels to be crowned with the authority, the blessing, the responsibility of being the leader, it is the last time they kneel to anyone. But why? Because at that moment, they have to receive this ability and this authority and this position to be able to live the life that they're called to live. And when we kneel in prayer, when we kneel, we see our prostrate before the Lord, and we're in this vulnerable space that involves trust. It requires relationship. It requires love. It requires vulnerability. And it requires, it is required for blessing to happen. So it isn't surprising that the part of the root word for the word blessing in Hebrew means to bow, to kneel, and it comes from the word knee. And you see, when Moses says, do not go astray or bow down to any other gods. You see, it wasn't just about the fact that God was jealous and didn't want it to share any power. The thing was is that the other powers of the world, who are other types of gods, not the God, but they were real. And God didn't want people to go and give their free will and their choice of being defined and identified by those characters and the characteristics of those other beings. And so for the people of God to receive the blessing was to, A, accept that they needed the reconciled position of the sacrifice for them, but also they were receiving the responsibility of going forth and worshiping God, serving God, not with a high hand, but with a trusting hand and in a relationship where you receive the power and the authority to become more than you could become on your own because of God's love and presence in your life. And that this kneeling and this bowing down, the reason why the commandment says you shall not worship any other god is because when you kneel to something, you allow the character and the presence and the identity of that thing to define you. And you see, so blessings, you see, aren't a carte blanche like magical spell. That once a blessing is spoken, it is a done deal, because God's blessings are always up for us to receive or reject. Blessings are always an opportunity and a way to reach the goal that God has for us. And the other thing is that when we just talk about blessing as the promised land, as we always think about that the goal of the people of God was to reach that land, that square space of whatever. I don't know what you believe about that, but to me it seems like that was just a precursor to where God really wants us to be, in a place where we're always focused with the center of his presence in our lives. Jerusalem, you know, Israel, and the focus of that was supposed to be the presence of God from the mountain where his presence dwelt. Now, what happens, you know the story, they go and they turn their hearts to other gods as the minute they get into the promised land. They forget where they were from, and they don't heed these words, and they begin to bow down to other things like fear, like other gods, like wanting to become like the world. I don't know if you remember the story, but the people of God asked God, and asked, they're the prophets, and said, hey, stop giving us judges. Stop giving us people who talk. We want a king like the other guys. And when the people of Israel decided, ask and have another king, what they were doing is, we want to be able to have a person and a place where we can go and bow down and have that person be glorified, because in the world, that's what we need to have power. And God said, okay, I'm going to let you have this, but I'm going to then infuse through this story your need for your true king, your need for a true savior in my son Jesus. And that's why when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he was just not talking about philosophy. He wasn't just talking about something that was nice thought. And it's, you know, we don't really get into this backstory of what it means that Jesus fulfilled all of the things of the Old Testament for us. And the story and the in-depth cultural and historical and bloody and gory and beautiful things when he is the life. Because it is in God's blessings that we have life. When we receive the image and allow his blessing to transform our lives, to carry us into the place where we need to be in his presence, when we do not bow to any other God or kneel to anything else, to allow anything else to bless us. In the Old Testament, to receive a blessing was to acknowledge your need for that thing giving you the blessing. And so it was also what we always talk about when we talk about blessing is peace. Peace is one of the immediate results of blessings. But peace, you see, is a future blessing as well, made reality only by God's power and love. It is not experienced by us until we and all of the nations declare and bow down to allow his blessing to fill us. That's that other verse that says, you know, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, you've heard that. Well, that's exactly what they were talking about, that they would receive a blessing, the direction, the marching orders for how the world should be and how we were created and meant to be in God's presence. To bow down is to receive blessing, to know that our lives are to be focused and directed by the very presence of God, the very outpouring of God's love. And that's why when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he was actually inviting us to worship him. Whew. I didn't see that coming. Remember the story? Doubting Thomas and those guys, like, where are you going? You can't go nowhere. We're going to be right there with you. We're going to establish the kingdom. We're going to conquer the Romans. We're going to do all these things. And Jesus said, no, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Where I'm going now, you cannot come, but you will know. And I will send you my very spirit. I will bless you with my very self in you as you follow me, as you take up your cross and follow me. So Jesus is saying, don't worry, but trust in me. Have faith in me. Do not let any other voices. And of course, the story, you see how the complexity of the story builds, because this is what we're coming up to Holy Week, right? We're coming up to when Jesus comes into Jerusalem on the donkey, and a symbolism of humility and of kingship and of royalty. And at the same time, the people declare him king, and the next day they crucify him and betray him. How, you see, Jesus knows that we are susceptible to being finicky and fickle, and we tend to lose our way quickly. And so that's why Jesus had to come. And that's why he, as the Son of Man, and he is the Son of God, he is fully human and as fully God, Jesus is the life, because it is through his death that we receive the transfusion of his lifeblood into the bloodline of our humanity, so that in our humanity we would not die, but live in eternity even as we walk on earth, to act and behave and live obediently as holy unto the Lord. And so you see, following Jesus, answering this question of Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, is about us realizing that we are called forth with the blessing of contributing not to the chaos and to the sin of this world, but as his children, as his servants, we are called to fully participate, like Abraham, in obedience, no matter what the cost, to follow Jesus to the ends of the world, to love God, to love each other, because this is Jesus' blessing. And this is who we are. The Old Testament, God instructed Aaron and Moses to give this reminder to the people when he would come out to bless them. And this is Numbers 6:22-26. And this will be familiar to you because you've heard it in many churches many times at the end of services. But this was, or at least is, the form of, just like our Lord's Prayer, a form of the blessing that God wanted to constantly be on the front of the minds of his people as they went anywhere. Remember, the sacrifices were made, the intercession was made, the blessing came, the word came, and then they waited until the cloud lifted, until the pillar of fire moved. They would not move in the Old Testament, they weren't supposed to anyway, until God moved and his covenant and his promise moved them, and that's how they traveled. They murmured and complained, and they were constantly in need of reminding, and so this was how God continually said, look, you are my people, and I love you, and this is a relationship of trust, but I will not force you to come. I will give you an option. You must choose to bow down. But even if you don't, let me tell you who you really are, and this is what he said in Numbers. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the Israelites. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. And be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you so that they will have my name on the Israelites, and I will bless them. Do you see how the crowning glory of this whole thing is his name upon his people, upon those that receive the blessing? About those who will declare and kneel before only God and allow this countenance, this glory, this perfect love to fill them, to transform them, and constantly remind them of who they are. And look at this, look at how in this prayer, in this benediction, in this blessing, there's already a sign or a kind of signpost. One of the persons that I was reading, he said, within here you can find the formula for the Trinity, for how God reveals himself through the New Testament to us. He shall keep you and care for you as the Father does, that he will make his face to shine upon you and give you grace as the Son does, to lift you up and give you peace as the Spirit brings. So all of the different aspects that we see of God's revelation to us today through his Son, Jesus Christ, we find in the blessing of God to his people. So when Jesus said he was the life, he was talking about an existence of peace between God and humanity, but also about the establishment of his kingdom as we walk in his blessing. He indicates that God is given him the choice, and he chooses, you see, to go to the cross, to become the way, and he lives out the truth, and then he gives us the life, and even on the cross, he says a blessing, which you all know and will hear, Father, forgive them. Remind them about your countenance, about your blessing, about your care. That I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus embodies for us God's word of blessing. God's word of belonging and God's word of eternal being. The only way we can receive it and live it and experience it is by allowing God's holy love and holiness to infiltrate our lives and recreate within us his image. To trust and give ourselves over to him unreservedly and allow God to be the director of our souls and of our lives. That you and I today, as we leave here, would be waiting with bated breath to see what Jesus would lead us to do next and become. So Jesus says, I am the life. He says, don't fear of anything that has happened to you or will happen to you because I'm in control. I am the life. I will bless you with the power and the ability to fulfill your calling, even if you don't think you can fulfill it yourself. That I am the life. I will bless you with something, somewhere that you will know that I've not left you and I will never leave you or forsake you. And that no matter what pain or suffering you're going through, and I know many of you are going through tough times. And this is the thing about God's blessing. He doesn't ignore the difficulty of our lives. He doesn't just say it's all fun and rosy because the cross reminds us of how bloody and how horrible sin is in our lives. But he says, do not worry that this is not the most powerful thing in your life. I have come to make you a new creation. And I will never leave you nor forsake you. Another part of his blessing. So when Jesus said, I am the life, everyone understood that life always and only came from God. And that life only and was only possible by the blessing and by the word, the eternal word of the Creator God, who was the only one who could make things new, and give them purpose. May we go forth today allowing the blessing of God not just to be some word or some incantation, but a promise of us to follow Jesus as he leads us. Because if we stray, we won't know and won't realize all the beauty and all the grace and all the wonder of his love for us and for the world. Let us pray. Lord, as we come to just reflect, Lord, on what you are trying to say to us, to me, to every one of us, just clear the mechanism, allow us to see and hear and experience your grace right now. As we come to the altar and kneel, as we sit and pray with one another, as we maybe are just heavily overburdened by the things that happened on Thursday or Friday or last year or what's happening tomorrow, Lord, allow us to hear your blessing, to receive, Lord God, your love and your spirit so that we can become the people you want us to become. Thank you for being the way and the truth. And thank you that all of us, all of that was really meant to reveal life to us. And so, Lord God, we bow down now before you. We worship you. We ask that you would bless us. I am yours all my days. There hasn't been a day in your life that you didn't belong to God. There isn't a day in your life that God hasn't been close to you and wanting you to know him. If you've been lonely, you know what the definition of loneliness is? Loneliness is not that anyone doesn't know us. The other way around. Loneliness is not about us not knowing anyone. You can know 1,000 people and still be lonely. Loneliness is about feeling and sensing that no one truly gets you, that no one truly knows you. And so God says, my blessing to you is so that you would know that I am always with you and you don't have to be lonely. No matter if you're in a crowd, no matter if you're in your worst day, no matter if you're at a funeral or at a birthday party, No matter if you're the one everyone is celebrating or no one has noticed you, because I see you. And I see you for who I made you to be and who I want to be in your life. So the blessing for us today is that we would go forth knowing that we belong to God and don't let yourself be lied to that it doesn't matter what you do with your life and it doesn't matter what you do with your body. It doesn't matter what you do with your voice. Because if a blessing is about being receiving God's word on our knees, God always gives us a reminder in our lives that he is with us, that he wants us to be a part of his life and for us to be a part of transforming and renewing the world. So when you say, peace be with you, you're saying the peace of Christ. When you say, God bless you, you're saying all the power and love and grace of God empower you. And then when you look at someone and said, have a great day, you're not just saying, have a great day. You're saying, may you be more than what you can be on your own with God's help and my help. That we receive today the blessing of being responsible for caring for one another as Jesus cared for us. And let him be the way, the truth, and the life, so that we will not despair, so we will not fear, and so that we would know the true God and our true nature as his children. Go forth in the blessing of that reality as you choose to receive him in your hearts today and in your life in a new way. For there's not a day that you've never not belonged to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. And go in the peace of Christ.